Welcome back. It's another episode of Afternoon Delight.
Look, it's Kyle, man, Rush. You look all bundled up, bro.
Bro, it was cold outside. It's cold outside at a high 48 in Auburn, Alabama.
Oh, man. You're not supposed to be wearing turtlenecks or mock necks this late in the season. I mean, this early in the season.
I know, dude. It was cold. We went to practice today. Yep. First day of spring practice. Luckily, Ben, we did most of it in the indoor. We all thought this was really funny. And basically, I'm just going to turn the floor over to Ben, ask questions, and we'll talk through everything we saw today. But one thing, Ben, one of the first things Goller said was when he did his media, he wanted to make it clear that they had most of the practice on the indoor. And he wanted to make it clear that it was not because it was too cold outside. He's like, it's because the field was a little slippery and we didn't want to get anybody hurt. So we moved it all indoor. So that was actually saved me because I had a toboggan on over my hat and I had the hoodie pulled on over that. It was like a triple decker. I am not built for that. But I got the cold gear on this morning, got the hoodie, got two pairs of pants. I'm ready to roll. So it was cold, but we got through it. It was a lot of fun.
And listen, Kyle can tell you, he and I play a lot of golf with one another. If it gets below about 55, it's tough for me to get outside. So he's a little stronger than I am. I'm definitely one that I'm running from the truck to the inside if it's less than 55 degrees outside.
Yeah. If it's under 50, there's gotta be like no wind.
Yes.
Which before I even think about going outside. So
yeah, there's no doubt. So, well, listen, I guess the first things first is, what all were you allowed to see? Because, you know, we all get, as media members, we get these press releases that say, this is what you can do. Yeah. That doesn't necessarily mean that's what you can do, because when you get there, then you kind of get told what you can do rather than what you read leading up to it. So what all were you allowed?
Yeah, so I can only compare to Freeze and what he allowed, because that's like when I started really – going to practice and covering the team, you know, full time. So you see less. It's a little bit more scrutinized as far as like your window. And but all the coaches, for the most part, they have a similar format. Like, you see them stretch. You're going to see them do some position groups, and you're going to see them do some special teams. And the only thing Freeze would do a little bit different is sometimes he'd let those run a little bit longer, or they'd throw in a very quick 11 on 11 period. Didn't see any of that. And it was very quick. It was 28 minutes was the period that we saw. And then, you know, the first five is stretching, you know, so really as far as like doing football stuff, it wasn't a ton. They broke up into all their position groups and we scrambled to try to see as much as we possibly could and see if we could pick out anything as far as like who's going first and, you know, what rotations there are. Could you get any semblance of what an offensive line looked like? Do we just ooh and ah over Byron Brown for 30 minutes? Like, what do we do? So we split it up and I thought we did a pretty good job. Got some pretty good notes. I posted them all in the barnauburn.com. Went live after practice. So go catch that too. You can catch some of the notes. But for the most part, compared to last year, saw a lot less, but the energy was incredible. Like, the energy there was just through the roof.
Yeah. I've been kind of monitoring it, social media all day.
Is that a theme you're seeing?
Yeah, because, I mean, that's just about everybody. I mean, all the people that I follow on Twitter that would post little short videos. I mean, like you said, you guys had 29 minutes, not just you, but other people that I follow as well. So I'm just kind of scrolling, and I mean, you just type in Auburn and Twitter and on the search bar, and literally that's kind of what you follow, because that's what's going on today. It's either going to talk about the basketball later tonight, the baseball later today, or it's going to be talking about football practice. And since football practice was happening right then when I was scrolling, that was the main topic that you saw coming up over and over. And a lot of video, I saw Cody Burns looked very working with the receivers. He looked very energetic and, you know, looked intense for it to be a first day of practice.
So, one thing they did a couple of drills that are like get off a jam type drill where it's like you got a pad in front of you. And like he just kept saying the same word, bellowing it over and over and over again. Violent.
Yeah.
Violent or violence is one of the two. Violent or violent. In other words, like don't just like, you know, just slap at it, like hit it. Like get off the jam. Like be violent. Get off the jam. He's very, very involved and very, very like locked in to what they're doing in every single rep. I'm talking, man, they're going rep, 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 next, rep, 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 over and over again. Like there is no dead time. That's like if I was in that practice, by the end of it, I'm gonna need an oxygen mask.
Yeah.
Like and Golish kind of mentioned that. He's like, you know, we were really sharp early on, and then as the practice went on, we got a little sloppy. And he goes, and that's conditioning. And like that, he's like, that'll get better. So, yeah. But yeah, Cody's locked in, and they are just.
Well, with that said, with that intensity, you talk about how, you know, you covered Freeze these last couple of years and what they've done. Is that different than what you saw with them and that staff? I mean, because you got some of the same defensive staff, so I'm sure that was probably very similar.
Defense was exactly the same. It's the offense that you saw the biggest difference in. And, look, we won't know if this equates to wins for a while.
Yeah.
But it is way different. Like, it's not laid back. Like, last year, offense felt very laid back, very – I don't want to say they weren't working, but it was more so – really intentional on each rep and not so much about like work, 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 work. So like in between each rep, there could be a lot of downtime or like in between station to station, there could be a lot of talking time. It feels like they've already done that on the front end. They've done that before they get to practice. They've done that on the days leading up to now. So when they get there, it's work, 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 work. We ain't doing this whole, you know, talking stuff and going over drills and at least from what we saw.
Yeah, we're just not spending our 2-hour window visiting. We can do that later.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be – because that's the thing is with your practice time and what NCAA, you know, strict makes you, you know, it strictly makes you follow and you have to log it and all that. I've said that with like basketball. I was like, you want to see a good basketball team practice, you know, go watch a team that they don't do any talking. Like they hit the floor and it's immediately they go into drills and they go into warming up and same with football. Like I only get you for this window of opportunity on the field. So you're going to be on the field. We're going to work you. So
we'll do that talking time outside of practice time.
Yeah. You know when we get in the classroom or we get in the, in the meeting rooms, then we'll do the talking. But right now, I need you performing and getting your repetitions in. And I don't know, Kyle, maybe that made a difference. I mean, you talked about with the offensive side of the football, there were times where we didn't look like we had taken reps. And maybe that had something to do with it year started. So,
again, I got no idea if it equates to wins. Yeah. It's just different.
Let me ask you this, because this is going to be the million-dollar question. Everybody's going, why haven't you asked him yet? When you walked near or around Byron Brown, like what does he look like? What his physical, you know, it's one thing to see a guy in a t-shirt taking pictures.
Yeah. But
when you see him in uniform and you know, hey, that's the guy that I'm going to see on Saturdays. What's the difference?
Not to just stand around him for 30 minutes. Like I didn't want to leave him. I didn't want to leave his side. No, he has such a gravitational pull around him, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like I'm talking about like not just from, you know, media, the other players, man, they just, it's like they're already idolizing him. They already are looking up to him. I mean, he's breaking them down as a team, like before they go to their position groups, like, you know, 1, 2, 3, break, whatever they said. I can't remember exactly what he said. It's something way cooler than that.
Violence.
And then he does it to end practice too. So like he starts practice, he ends practice. When they break, he's at a dead sprint to where he warms up. He is so very well put together. Like he's a big dude.
Yeah.
Like there ain't no doubt about it. If you took the numbers off the jerseys, you could pick him out.
Well, one of the videos that I saw while I was scrolling through today, while y'all were braving the cold, and I was sitting in a 72 degree studio, was showing him doing some throwing, and it was with two other quarterbacks. All that was in the screen was two other quarterbacks, and from a distance, that's the thing. Even from a distance, you didn't have to know the number. Like you knew which one was him, as the three of them were kind of standing together. It was like, oh, there's Brown. And
no doubt.
So I get what you're saying, because I couldn't imagine being there in person and seeing the same thing. So with that said, too, there's two other transfer quarterbacks that have come in here.
Yes.
Did you see them throwing the ball at
all? Yeah, yeah. Tristan Tia seemed like he's number two. Like he seemed like he was going second in every single rep. There's a lot of people that were talking, and it's kind of going around, are talking about Byron Brown's mechanics. He's got a little bit of a funky delivery. It's just different. It's maybe a little.
He looks like he drops the ball a little bit.
He's a dropper. Like he drops it. He's a down up guy.
Yes, and he looks like it's a pitching motion. It's not a quarterback
turning a double play. It feels like he's turning a double play.
He comes back. He drops it, and then he comes up. And I don't know if that. In college, I think that release time's fine. I think they're going to try to change those mechanics when he goes to the pros, unless they treat him like a Caleb Williams and they want him to break pocket, and then you can do what you want because he's going to be running away from people. So they get that. But, the mechanics thing, I could see where some people might not like what they – because all we saw was, 15 to 20 highlights of him at South Florida. So
yeah, but I mean, he completed 66% of his passes last year. So it's getting from point A to point B. I don't really care. It's kind of like they say on the golf course: if you make a birdie and it was ugly, you don't have to draw. If you chip in after two terrible shots, you don't have to draw a picture on the scorecard.
Oh, yeah,
you just write it down.
Yeah,
it's don't have to draw a picture on how it got there. It gets to point A to point B in a hurry. Mm-hmm. He's got a cannon. As far I say all that to say, when you compare those mechanics to Tristan Tia's, they could not be more polar opposite. He's got like the most beautiful quarterback, like fluid, robotic mechanics.
Yeah,
really spins it. I question, the vertical arm strength, like pushing it down the field. A couple couple of the guys when they were throwing those deep corners, they kind of floated a little bit, but. But, he was going number two, and then Lachlan Hewlett was going third. Mm-hmm. And then, obviously, had Reese Brush going fourth, which is the freshman, kid from Armwood that came in late, the late flip. So, I like what I saw early, out of those guys. But it does seem like Tristan's number two.
So, we have 15 running backs in the room. So, did anybody go with the ones? Could you even really
Cobb
tell?
Was one.
Okay.
Cobb was definitely going with Byron. He was going with Byron every time. And then it kind of felt like all the other guys were sort of rotating from there. Like, for example, Nekai Davenport would actually go second sometimes. And then, Bryson Washington would go second sometimes. But like Cobb went first every time. Like he went with the ones every single time. So maybe that's interesting. I don't know, but Cobb seems to be the alpha of that room, at least for now, practice one. So
I will say you've heard it in this offseason how much they love Cobb.
They do.
So it doesn't shock me he's going with the ones. I mean, I think that was part of the selling point when people were even questioning whether or not he may hit the portal or not. And it's like it clearly sounds like this staff wants him and is going to use him as the – the go-to to at least begin the season. So Washington, again, you and I have talked about it. I think he's a great two. He's a one. It's a 1A, 1B maybe with those guys.
Yeah.
I still think Mapson is going to – when he got the opportunity last year, he made the most of it. I think he's one of those – I don't know how he looks in practice, and I don't want to speculate, but it seems like when – Mapson, when the lights come on inside of Jordan here, he seems to have a little different gear. And he was that way on Friday nights when he played at Auburn High. He had a little different gear. And so it makes me wonder when he gets his opportunity in the game, like the coaching staff may go, well, where did this come from? Like, what? So we may.
Gamer. I don't know. I could. So it's because we were in the indoor. Have you ever been to the outdoor facility? The outdoor. So you know how during practice, you can actually walk. It's two fields, but you can walk on all sides of it. Yeah. Like you can walk on the indoor, you only have the one sideline. Mm-hmm. So anytime they're on the other side, you're totally screwed. You can't see. So yeah. Running backs were, for the most part, on that far right corner, and we couldn't get around to them. So very little info there, but that's about all I saw. All you could really tell to me was Jeremiah Cobb was the pretty clear number one.
Offensive line, any mix-ups or rotation differences? Or
so the big note there, I think, is Stanton Ramil, who is your big left tackle that you spent to get in the portal. It's not it's quote unquote not catastrophic. Like it's just get back to practice mode, you know, mm-hmm. after coming in, having an off-season surgery. So he was not necessarily in the mix there. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, whatever, however you feel about that, I think he's fine. I don't think it's anything to worry about. He's just getting back healthy. As a matter of fact, he said he probably is going to be more full contact in that second week of practice, second week or third week of practice. So with that being said, they did this drill and we talked about this after the fact and we're like, did this actually mean anything? But they would do a drill with four offensive linemen, okay? And the way it would line up is like left guard was Ty Buster. And again, I don't know if that's what this means, but the first one of the four from left to right. So like on the left was Ty Buster, mm-hmm. okay? And the next was Cole Best. The next mm-hmm. was Cole Skinner. And the next was Joseph Simmons, who – Joseph Simmons would be he's going to be probably your right tackle. So, and it was left to right that way. So it was almost like left guard, center, right guard, right tackle. Ty Buster, okay. Cole Best, Cole Skinner, Joseph Simmons. And then there was just no left tackle. I don't know if that's what that meant, but that was the first group that went out and it kind of flowed that way. Like, you know what I mean? Like Ty Buster probably will play guard. Cole Best is going to play center. Cole Skinner is going to play guard, and Joseph Simmons is going to play tackle. So it was weird. It was almost like it was a four-person offensive line with no left tackle. That's more than likely that's not what that meant, but that's the first four that mm-hmm. went out. The kid from the Joseph Simmons, the right tackle mm-hmm. from James Madison, boy, oh, boy, he's going to be good. I think he's going to be good. He is.
I told you. He's my favorite. He's explosive. He's the guy that I'm – number one, personality is what jumped out on me when I saw him in the offseason. But number two, he's just one of those guys that looks like he kind of got overlooked and kind of got stuck at a smaller university. And he's – you put him with some other alphas, which he didn't have on his own line, and he may be able to – his job may get easier for him because he's got better people around him than what he had at JMU,
yeah.
if that makes sense. So
Cole Best talked to the media afterwards, and I think he may be the second most important portal addition other than Byron Brown. He is that impressive. Like I hope he's good because he says the right things. And like, there was one time being like, guys, I think rehearse things they say, and like they say a lot of the out of the box things they hear their coaches say, and you know, it's kind of like, you know, whatever, this is kind of a waste of time. Like there was one point in time and they were asking him about, you know, because I think there was a question on whether or not he would be able to play this year. Like I think he had to get a waiver or something like that. But anyway, like when he was talking about that, he was almost in tears. Like everything he said just felt so genuine. And that, again, that doesn't necessarily mean anything as far as football goes. It just, that dude loves Alex Golish. That dude loves Byron Brown, and he believes in it, and he is very grateful to be here. And I just feel like that's a recipe for success mm-hmm. right there at center. So I think he's going to end up being like the second most important portal addition of this whole cycle.
Did you see anything that gave us an idea of what, number one, I want to ask you about two things about the receivers mm-hmm. Because people have asked this because they're like, oh, they're at South Florida. They're not SEC receivers. What was their size like as far as size and speed? Number two, what was their size like? I mean, you know, I've, you know, you've seen tape, but you've seen tape against them playing against guys that were not Florida and guys that were not Alabama. And so you're like, okay, well, of course they look big against them. They're playing against a 5'7" corner from, you know, FIU. And I want to see them play against the 5'11" to 6 foot corner from Alabama. And so, and see how the size compares there. So your initial reaction, and I'm gonna work outside in here, receivers, and then I want you to move to tight end. Same thing.
So Keyshawn Singleton is just as, if not more, physically impressive than any receiver we had last year. I said on my live, I thought if you just stood him up in a lineup, Perry Thompson physically was probably the most put together. I think he's like 223 or something like
that.
Yeah,
like wide shoulders.
Cut up, real good. Keyshawn looks every bit as good as Perry Thompson. But the difference is he is so fluid. Like the way he can bend, the way he can move, the way he runs, he looks like an SEC wide receiver.
Okay.
I mean, he's very, very physically impressive. And then you just switch over to Jeremiah Koger, and basically you just take Keyshawn Singleton and add an inch and a half, and you got Jeremiah Koger. Like,
wow.
I've seen the lineup, okay? I've seen the spring roster update, and it's one thing to see it on paper. It's another thing to see it in person. I'm so glad you put it like you put it, because I feel like psychologically when we think G5, we think small, right? Like, I think
everybody thinks that.
Undersized, these guys are not small.
They probably didn't make it because they were undersized. You know, they probably didn't get looked at because they were undersized.
That's what we're kind of trained to think. I mean, y'all remember the wide receiver room last year? These two guys right here, from a physical standpoint, are every bit, if not more impressive physically, than what you saw last year. Now, can they high point a ball like Cam Coleman? Don't know. But they're fast. They can run routes. They catch the ball. And they're big. Like, in other words, they're not going to see an SEC corner and, from a physical standpoint, look out of place.
Okay.
They look really, really good. Chaz Nimrod is another one that, for whatever reason, in my mind, he's 5'9, 165, and he's 6'2, 190. And he's playing slot wide receiver. Like, the wide receiver room has, to quote Byron Brown, is full of dogs. That's what he said. That's what receiver room is full of. Even the slot guys I mentioned Chaz Nimrod, like Christian Neptune looks a lot bigger than I expected. Bryce Kane's beefed up a little bit. Deshaun Spencer, the freshman from Saraland's, a lot taller than I expected. From a group, like, I think if you stood, again, take the numbers off the jerseys and put that group beside the group from last year, I don't think you'd be able to tell them apart.
Okay. And tight ends?
Oh, tight ends. So Jonathan Echols is your number one guy, South Florida transfer. He had a non-contact jersey on, and I don't know if it's just him wearing number one or whatever, but he is impressive. You know, he's 6'5", 6'6", 235 pounds.
Is that going to be his number?
Yeah, number one, tight end. And he goes out number one. So him and Jake Johnson are your one and two, from what I could tell. Like, every rep, every single drill they did, it was those two guys, one and two. The kid from Howard, I think his name is Xavier Newsom, he is just a beast. He's 260 pounds, 6'6".
He looks big even at Howard.
Yeah, he's big. And who else? Arliss Boardingham.
Yep,
looked pretty good. The kid,
was he limited at all? Because, you know, he had injuries. Boardingham.
No, he was not. He's not.
Okay.
The only tight end with an orange jersey on was Echols. Mm-hmm. The kid from, So we just talked about the Arliss Boardingham. Oh, the kid from Louisiana Monroe, the quarterback, mm-hmm. Hunter Heron.
Yeah, the guy that plays everything.
Fast.
Yeah.
Really fast. Really fast for a tight end. Like, in and out. I would say if they all raced, he's probably the fastest tight end. So he looked pretty good too. Where they play him, no idea. But Byron mentioned, like, there will be tight ends on the field often because they dictate alignment. They dictate a lot of things. So there's going to be – you're going to be playing those guys. He's going to
go to them. If you watch some of their film, that was what everybody wanted to watch, the film of like Singleton on the outside, and they wanted to see that kind of what they failed to watch was there were a few times when he didn't tuck it and run and use his speed, because as you said, Brown's a big dude, not to mention he's also fast, but he would go to the tight ends. He's not afraid to dump it down to a tight end, and kind of what Auburn fans have been begging for. He ain't afraid to look over the middle and dump it down to a tight end just to pick up, you know, 7-8, call it a win, get up to the line, go again. And maybe we see some of that, and could be why you sell the non-contact. I know we're coming up on around 25 minutes here, so I did want to ask you this too. We've talked about, of course, mostly offensive. Like you said, defensive was about the same of what we would expect. But Golish himself, man, running the practice. Let's do a Golish versus Freeze slash. Yeah.
So
because you talked about the nonchalantness, and you know, you saw those specials that they did on SEC Network, and you saw some of the behind the scenes stuff that they did with Auburn, where Freeze is going around and hobnobbing with people and talking with people and that kind of thing, and kind of halfway paying attention. And then every now and then he'd be out there in drills and doing stuff. But Golish, is he hands on? Is he coaching as well as being a head coach? You know, being the manager of the quote unquote like a baseball manager? Is he being both a manager and a coach? Or if you had to grade him, or you had to describe him, how you do that?
That's a good one. So again, I have no idea if this equates to wins or losses. Okay. This is just an observation from one guy to the other. Yeah. Hugh Freeze was more of I'd call it a meanderer. Okay. Like he would just kind of walk amongst everybody. He may speak to somebody here. Very observant. He's observing a lot. Golish is quite the opposite. Golish is like, you'll look at him at one point in time and they're doing, I don't know if it's karaoke or like side, like when they're warming up, you know, just back and forth deal. He's doing the exact same exercise as warming up with Malik Autry and talking him up.
Okay.
Which, by the way, Malik Autry, I think, is going to be a dog this year, by the way. I think he may be the next big guy to step up in that defensive line room and be something. Local guy, Opelika kid.
Yeah.
So, like, you'll look over there, and he's doing that. And then,
he was a dog in high school, I'm going to tell you that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, he was – yeah, he had a lot of baby fat on him. Sounds like he's kind of shedding some of that, and it looks like he may have beefed up a little bit.
Yeah. Then you turn your head a couple seconds later, and there'll be a wide receiver that dropped a pass and, you know, kind of pouting a little bit because they dropped the pass, and he's coming to tell him, I don't like your body language. You know, like you'll see that. And then you'll look over, and he's talking to an offensive lineman doing a rep, and then he's running over – he's just running everywhere he goes. Like he's everywhere. Like it's like every time you turn around, you leave a room and you go to another room and he's already there. You know what I mean? Like it's crazy. He is full of energy. Now, I have no idea if that was performative. I don't feel like it was.
Because I doubt it.
Media was there. I don't know if that's going to be the same thing tomorrow or Thursday, but that's what we saw. And he was that's not what we saw last year. Again, no idea if that equates to more wins, but he is locked in, he is engaged, and it is a big difference from year to year. Even some of the players, we talked to some of the players after the practice, and like even one of the, I'm not gonna say who it was, like one of the players was like, bro, it ain't nothing like it was last year.
He's
like,
intense.
This is like, way different.
I will tell you.
And this was a returning player from last year.
Yeah. So. And well, I've said, you know, we heard the rumors about some of the stuff that took place in the locker room last year, about some of the, you know, you'll get used to losing type deal. And that, I don't think those kind of conversations are going to be held under this administration. So let me ask you this last question, because we've done nothing but boog and talk about how much we love what we saw today or what you saw today. And so if there's a criticism or there's a thing that you just said, you know what, I didn't like that. Is there anything that sticks out in your mind that, you know, or, and it could be anything from, I thought I'd see more of this guy on defense and he clearly was running with the twos and threes and not up front. You know, it could be anything. Like, is there anything that, I don't want to say the word shock because it's the first day of practice, but anything that kind of stood out that may be either disappointing or, you didn't see that happening?
It's a good question. I want to say the Bryson Washington, you know, mixing it in with the ones, I think, and it may just be that we just didn't see much out of the running backs in general. Like, I don't know. Like, they were so far away, it was really hard to tell. But I felt like I would notice him a lot more, and I like really didn't. So that's kind of disappointing because I was excited to see him. And then defensive backs in general, I just didn't notice him. Again, they were on the other side of the field, hard to get a good a look at them. And we never got to see wide receiver on DB, which was disappointing. So I guess if that makes sense, that's kind of the two things I wish we could have gotten a little bit more glimpse of. I wanted to see more Bryson Washington, and I wanted to see more, at least some, you know, battles, yeah, like some DB versus wide receiver battles. Like Hugh Freeze, like they did two times. They would do end zone, like they do red zone one-on-one, and then they would do just like regular one-on-ones in the period that we would get to see. So I wish we'd get to see a little bit more of that.
I will say, and I know that's a different ball game than what it was. Now everything's on tape, everything's on film. I miss the days. I call them the Tommy Tuberville days.
Out on the intramural fields?
On the intramural fields where now, I totally understand why they had to pull them indoors too, because some of those coaches undressing some of those players, that's not what you want your 8-year-old listening to when you're out there, because people would bring their kids.
They grow up quick though.
There's no doubt they grow up quick. And then they go home and they tell their mom, I'm not effing doing that.
Yeah.
So, but I missed because Tubbs was, I mean, he was an open book. Now he was the Hugh Freeze type. He was shaking hands and talking to donors while everybody, and he would jump up.
Goalish is football, bro.
Yeah, goalish is. And it would – I would like to bring back the day, because y'all aren't giving any secrets away. Now, I understand if you got like a Bama beat writer that's in there that may write on something, but for the most part, the Auburn people are going to – I'd like for them to be able to let y'all sit in there for the entire 2.5 hours and, you know, and kind of follow everybody, because – like you said, I don't think it's pageantry. I think that he legit is all football. I think he's that way from start to finish, like that intensity, because he came in that way. His press conferences have been that way. Yeah. So I just
this is the last thing I'll say on him in general, but that just kind of goes to what you're talking about. So there was the media portion after practice, and there was a bunch of people asking him questions. And I don't exactly remember what the question was. I'll have to go back and watch it. All I remember him saying is that we spent 45 minutes Sunday night talking about it, and we also spent 50 minutes Monday morning talking about it. So I can't remember. Again, I have to go back and remember what it was. It was something to do with the way they're going to execute a practice, but – it was Sunday night, and then it followed over Monday morning, and he said the exact minutes both times. So, like, I don't know how many meetings we had on Sunday nights. Maybe a bunch. I don't think that's a thing. But
no, it wasn't a thing. Remember, he flat out admitted he gave Sundays off.
And then you turn around and do the exact same essential meeting Monday morning. It's just like everything is planned out. This dude just eats, sleeps. Like, he's one of those guys. This is so real. He's one of those guys that's probably – you talk to him about football. He's the most brilliant mind, most articulate, most organized, has no idea how much money's in their checking account, has no idea how bills get paid, has no idea how to balance a checkbook. I guarantee you he's one of those kind of – like, you can't be that locked into that many things. Like, you can't.
I still am curious. Y'all got to ask him this during what – has he bought a house yet? I was
looking through the MLS the other day, and, like, I still haven't really noticed a house that I'm like, I bet you that's the house he bought that's gone for sale. So I have no idea.
I mean, after he gets his – and I don't know if his family's up here yet fully or not, but
– I saw they were in Tampa at a concert the other night.
Maybe he's letting the kids finish school at their grades or whatever right now, and then in the summer come up. But I got to think. I actually, that got brought up the other day with one of my buddies. They were like, you think that dude's still at a hotel? I said, it wouldn't surprise me. I said, I don't think he's had time to go shop for a house. And I said, I don't think his wife's been up here that much except to visit. And then she's taking the kids back down there to do school stuff. So it wouldn't shock me at all if he.
When was he hired? So he's been here 90 days.
Yeah.
Keep going. Keep talking.
And so I think that it wouldn't shock me at all if he's still at the Collegiate or the AU hotel, just walking across the street and going to work every day.
Yeah.
Because it's funny that you brought that up, that he doesn't have like any idea what's in the checking. Like, that's another thing. I honestly think guys like that, they need their spouse to keep them grounded in that kind of thing, where it's like, hey, your son's birthday is next week. And hey, you know, it's our anniversary in 2 weeks. Like, we need to do something. And Lord forbid, I bet when football season rolls around, I bet the dude is just hard to deal with. I think a lot of them are that way. I think a lot of those guys are wired that way. Some are more intense than others, but I think every one of them are wired to say, I mean, every week is, we've seen it with Stephen Pearl in basketball. Every week is a judgmental week. How did you do this week? And it's no longer, what has the guy done over the span of his career? It's what are they doing for me lately? And I mean, those guys have to stay on there. They got to stay in the present at all times. And also be thinking about what they're going to be doing the following 2 to 3, 4 weeks down the road. So that's good stuff though, man. I'm glad to see that the energy level's there. Hopefully it stays there. And those guys are able to, I think you'll see a little bit of a different team, different locker room this time around.
No, I'm with you 100%. All right, guys, thanks for joining us. We got so much to talk about throughout the rest of the week and over the next coming weeks. Got baseball tonight. You got basketball tonight. You got all kind of stuff. So y'all stay tuned. Make sure you're subscribed. We're going to have fun talking about it. So guys, appreciate it. We'll talk again soon. War Eagle.
War Damn Eagle.